Good morning. I am Jeffrey Ring on the program committee, and I am here to introduce our Red Ion plenary speaker for this morning. When Dr. Renee Critchlow was pretty young, she imagined that when she grew up, she would be a geologist or a marine biologist or a rodeo rider. Some might say, but she didn't choose rodeo riding with all of its bumps and falls and treachery. She chose academic medicine. One afternoon during her youth in Oklahoma, she was visiting over at the house of her friend Scott Rutherford. His mom was making some snacks for them, and his mom, a scrub nurse at the local hospital, looked at Renee and said, "What do you think you want to be when you grow up?" And in that moment, something crystallized differently in Renee's mind. And she said this. She said, "Well, I really like science, and I really like people. I think I'm going to be a physician." And Mrs. R. looked right at her and said, "Well, Renee, I think you will be an outstanding physician." And Mrs. R. was definitely prescient and correct. Dr. Critchlow is an outstanding physician, educator, and teacher. In fact, she was just recently named Educator of the Year by the Minnesota Academy of Family Practice. And those Minnesotans know greatness when they see it. When you speak with Dr. Critchlow, some of her values, her priorities, just come rolling forth very quickly. First, you hear that she says that learning is winning. She talks about projects undertaken together are less scary, less daunting than when undertaken alone. She reveals very quickly that she's the kind of person that when she sees a problem, she feels compelled to respond, to seek solutions, particularly in the realm of social justice and equity. These themes, these values, you will hear about them today as she talks about her program she co-founded, The Ladder, and when she talks about her work right here at STFM as chair of our Emerging Leaders Program. Both of these, the Emerging Leaders Program, The Ladder, they speak to the path forward for our next 50 years. Don't just speak to the path forward, but directly impact the road ahead. Dr. Critchlow completed her medical training and residency at University of California, Davis. She currently practices and teaches at the University of Minnesota. She is the Associate Program Director for North Memorial Family Medicine Residency. Moreover, she leads the community health efforts for the department, and who better to undertake that under her wings? Please join me in offering a warm welcome to our speaker this morning, Dr. Renee Critchlow.
Welcome, STFM. Hello, guys. I wanted to take a quick moment to change my slides and also to be really clear that we never get anywhere alone. And today, I want to be most clear that I'm very proud to be the wife of Dr. Nicole Winbush and the mother of wonderful little Amos Camphy, and without whom I would not be able to be here today. But I want to really thank STFM for the honor of allowing me to make this plenary speech. Let's check this. Oh, yeah, we're ready. Let's do this. Okay, so STFM, you guys all stayed to the last day, and I'm saying thank you, and we're going to get something out of this. So we're going to start with a few things. Number one, we got objectives. Don't read them. When I was chosen to be chair of the Emerging Leaders Fellowship, I was very, very, Gretchen Dickinson was our chair before, and she introduced me to the Poos and Kozner book, The Leadership Challenge. Basically, these guys like spent 25 years gathering information saying, when was your best leadership moment? And they framed it into a pathway that people could understand and learn from. Learning. is winning. Yeah, there you go. It's my people right there. So five leadership, they have five leadership practices and 10 commitments. And this is one of the things that are the core of our teaching program for the emerging leaders. But this is one of the things I want to let you know. One of the things you have to do is you get an idea of what they are, but you have to apply them, and you have to reflect on them. So what we're going to do is this. This is their definition of leadership. Leadership is the art of mobilizing others to want to struggle for shared aspirations. These are critical, wanting to struggle for shared aspirations. One of the things that they talk about is you should also understand your own values in order to lead. So I took that leadership quote and I said, what is my definition of leadership? This is my definition of leadership, which is a very correct definition, by the way. You should know that. Leadership is managing change with growth and vision and helping others to do the same. What's the one constant in this world? A little louder, please.
Change.
Exactly. It's the one thing that we know we can depend on. So we have to learn how to manage that. We have to learn how to engage with that because it's not going to stop. This is interesting. AAFP definition of family physician. Let's read this together. Family physicians guide patients through the challenges and changes of life, health, and illness. That sounds a little leadership-y to me, doesn't it? That's right. That is pretty similar, and we need to keep that in mind. More than anything, though, leadership is a journey. And journeys are best understood by stories. So we're going to tell a story today. We'll tell a few stories, but there's going to be a main story. It's based on The Ladder, which is an organization that we co-founded at North Memorial. North, in the house? There you go. They practiced that last night. So this is the motto of The Ladder. Lift as you climb, build as you grow. Ladder started its journey a long time ago. There was a young chief resident who gave an awesome grand rounds. You had to be there. This chair decided after that grand rounds to invite the chief resident up. You need to come to my office. I'm like, is this like one of the usual times when I have to come? Am I in trouble? She's like, nope, you're not in trouble. We need to talk about getting you into academics. And then that chair offered that young chief resident a job on faculty, which she abandoned a couple years later to go to Montana. But this program director routinely gave her and supervised and guided her through developing and managing long-term projects, which she abandoned her and moved to Minnesota. This chair told a mid-career faculty member that you need to get out there and you need to get some leadership training. And then he stood up at STFM, conference very much like this, went up to the microphone and asked one of the speakers, said, how do we get our physicians out of the exam room and into the communities? And then this chair and philanthropist had a scholarship to the emerging leaders for minority faculty. And that same mid-career faculty member was able to do the emerging leaders fellowship. And the project for that emerging leader fellowship was The Ladder. It wouldn't have happened without these many steps. The Ladder. Some of you have heard about it. Some of you have not. Some of you are in the wrong room and are sports medicine, so just hold. You know who you are. Check the IDs next time, people. Okay. So The Ladder came out of a real need. We do this thing at our residency that where we ask every single kid, all well child visits, all anything. You see a kid, you ask him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the residents do this because they know if they don't ask them, then I will ask them. It's reinforcing. But one of the reasons I've started doing that is like, you know, education is one of the biggest social determinants of health. And expectations are critical with education. So you get these conversations going early. So we ask all the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Video dancer, is that really a thing? It's very high up there. video dancer, NBA players, blah, 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 blah. But very often, you get a ton of kids, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse. I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman. I had one kid, he's like, I want to be a taxi driver. And I was like, you know, I was raised very middle class, and, you know, if you have to take that little judging middle class person off your shoulder sometime. And I was like, well, why? That's an interesting question. He goes, oh, well, I want a car. In the neighborhood he lives that we serve, only half the households have cars. He's only seen people who are taxi drivers that own cars. It's your what you have around you that gives you your perspective on what you can do. It was critical for me to realize that. Then I had this other kid. She was cool, super cool. And I was like, she was in there. She's like 14, 15. She's like, what do you want to be? I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? She's like, well, I want to be a success. And again, I had that little middle class on my shoulder. I'm like, what? That's a stupid answer I've ever heard. But I was like, then the other, you know, social justice warriors on the other side said, why don't you ask her what her perspective is? And so I did. I was like, okay, wait a second. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you to be a success? Do you know anyone in your life that's a success? And she's like, no, I don't know anyone that's a success. I was like, whoa, okay, let's just stop for a second. I know for sure right now that your mom is in here with your other two older sisters, one of whom is at college, the other one is going to college, and none of you are pregnant, and she's a single mom. So I'm going to tell you something. You know when someone is a success. Your mother's a success, and you need to realize that. But what does success mean to you? She's like, well, I want a house, I want a car, and I want to be able to buy my mom stuff. I thought about it. It's like, wait a second. I have a house. I have a car. I buy my mom stuff. I was like, you know me. I'm a success. We should hang out. And so all these things sort of kept percolating in my brain, and then Mac Barrett stands up, and he's like, how do we get people in the community? And I'm like, all these kids are doing stuff. They want to do stuff, but they don't know how. And then my wife, who is a genius and gorgeous, and I'm so lucky, and she's dual boarded in integrative medicine and family medicine. And she's tall and runs like a gazelle. And at that time, I was 80 pounds heavier. And she's like, let's run a 5K. And I'm like, do you just want to humiliate me? But it came out more like, oh, yes, we can do something together. And the 5K was going to be in our neighborhood. And she's also a doc in our neighborhood. And she works at the FQHC, and we manage a lot of the similar patient population. And so we're like, yeah, 5K in North Minneapolis. This is going to be awesome. And I'm literally like 80 pounds more than I am right now. So I'm like, well, I'll be walking about 50% of the time. I had an app. So it was good. That's for all the sportsmen folks. So we get out there, and it is total 5K. It's like the suburban 5Kers, and they're just like, this is my third 5K today, and I've got my watch. They all have their watches at the thing. And they're off. And at the point, Nicole's like, she's like, I think I want to maybe run this one. I'm like, oh, no problem. And she's like a gazelle, she's gone. And then I'm like, it's me and like these 2 8-year-olds. And I'm ahead of them. I'm ahead of the 2 8-year-olds. And they're like, how do people know which way to go? And I was like, oh, well, you know, they've got the cones and the thing. And I was like, oh, these kids have never run a 5K. They don't know what the path is. They have no idea. And all the suburbanites are pew, pew, pew. I was like, oh, that's interesting, as the oxygen loses from my brain. But I was going. I was like, this is really interesting. And my wife tells me about a story when she was there, and she was running through the neighborhood, and she passed by a house, and this lady, like, the door bangs open, and the lady leans out, and she points at her kid, and she points at my wife, and she goes, there goes your doctor. And she's like, I never felt prouder in my life. I'm like, I was modeling really good behavior. I was like, oh, it's good, strong work. So, and I'm trudging along, and I'm like, you know, 5Ks are long. I don't know about you. That's pretty long. And I had decided at a point, I was like, okay, I'm just going to run a little longer, and then just walk the rest of the day, but I'll get there. And so I'm running, And then I look up, and I see my wife, and she'd finished already. But she ran back, and she's like, "I'll run with you." And I was like, "I was going to walk." But I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's do that." And I did. I ran the whole rest of the way. I totally did. She couldn't finish it for me. She couldn't do it. But she encouraged me, and I did it. And I was like, "Oh, wait a second. Oh, my God. I just figured out what we got to do. We got to start an organization. We got to put on a show." No. I was like, "We got to do a thing. We got to do a thing where we basically, we help show people the path. And we model the way, and we encourage them. And we can do that." I was like, "Let's do this." So, what is the ladder? Ladder is a community of purpose. It's a path. It's not a pipeline. It's an organization that models the path to success. Basically, those of you who study complexity understand the idea of scaling. It's like we are making resilient, successful people by being a resilient, flexible, successful organization and integrating the skills within our organizations that we want to integrate with to the kids that we're bringing up. What the ladder is not, it's not a quick fix. This is not a quick fix. This is an investment, a long-term commitment. And it's not a source for research. These kids live in a low-wealth community, and they have seen enough of those, you know, 1- and 2-year projects and 6 months this and service learning that. No, this is about building a community that's going to be there for the long run. We're going to show you some stuff. I apologize, the sound is a little weird, but the IT folks say that they got it. So let's watch this together.
So Christopher, where are you going to be in 5 minutes? Which way? Okay. Same? No. Bernard, what's wrong now? Where are you going to be in 5 minutes?
Congratulations.
Okay, so you'll be over there in 5 minutes. Okay, Alan, where are you going to be in 5 minutes? Okay, so you're going to be right about there in 5 minutes.
Renee Critchlow, University of Minnesota Family Medicine. Every day we ask when we see our kids in our clinic, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's one of the first things we ask. And we have tons of kids who say, I want to be nurse, I want to be doctor. And being someone who's also in faculty at the university and at the medical school, I noticed there weren't a lot of kids What are you going to do in elementary school that's going to get you ready for middle school? What are you going to do in middle school that's going to get you ready for high school? In high school, you have to get ready for college. And if someone's not telling you that you have to do that, you don't know that. So the ladder helps people get to the next level.
What is the ladder? Ladder's you. Ladder's a society of medical scholars 9 years old enough. Every one of us is a medical scholar today.
I believe that learning is what winning. Learning is winning. And losing is just another chance to learn. Because we're not done. Okay? We're never done.
Hi, I'm Yuchi Vang, one of the medical students. I come back every because I love the progressive mentorship. Like, I love coming here and meeting people, sharing my experiences, getting to know their experiences, and kind of helping them on their pathway to success. You know, I wished when I was younger I had something like this going on where I can come in and learn a little bit about the medical field, learn a little bit about what doctors do, and get to talk to them, and as well as, you know, talk to some of the high schoolers and see their experiences, as well as some of the people that are in middle school and then people in college, and kind of see the whole spectrum.
Christopher Allen, I'm 13. One of the things I like about this organization, the ladder, I think the reason why I keep coming is help you push through things and help you accomplish your dreams and hopes in life, which I hope to do. That's why I keep coming, so, yeah.
My name is Fidrosa Ali. I'm a junior and I go to South High. And what I like about the ladder is, like, it prepares you, like, if you want to be a doctor, like, you to go somewhere in the medical field, so it's going to help you a lot.
This is your umbo. People always say I have a pretty good umbo. I should be someone you can see.
It's a big yes. Yeah, and it actually
This is chest extender, so this is ass forward. So you point to maybe a rib, show me where a rib might be. Yeah, exactly.
It takes me a lot longer to breathe in now.
Good. Which one's harder? Do you think? In or out is a drop?
Hear that? Now if I'm... You hear the difference? This is more dull.
When you blow it out, how big is it? So what we're going to do is we're going to have you all blow into this balloon. And you're going to blow as hard as you can for, we're going to say 1 second. So for 1 second.
We believe our true self is wise and compassionate and seeks to know this self. We take full responsibility for our choices. We take full responsibility for our actions. We strive each day to appreciate the good in ourselves, our community, and our lives. We are determined to correct any mistakes that we may have made and determined to take right action now and in the future. We embrace the truth that each day we can be the right person and do the right things starting now. We seek to see the best parts of others and speak directly to that being. We seek to see the good in our communities. We seek to serve the positive works in our communities. We seek knowledge and desire to act from wisdom. We will spread by our actions and our lives the principles of a successful community. Lift as you climb, build as you grow. We know we will succeed because we will never give up. This I pledge.
Good job, you guys.
See you next time. Who had fun?
Who learned something? Who's coming back? All right, there you go.
Okay. So that gives me a general idea of what we're about. The deeper things are, like, our principles are really about making a long-term commitment. I jokingly call it the Winbush principles because my wife was, like I said, one of those people sick and tired of those 1 and 2 year projects that were littering all the low wealth communities and reinforcing all the academics' CVs. Our idea is that you make a long term commitment, you stay lean, and you adapt to local conditions. Each one teach one. The outcomes that we've had so far, things like all our members are mentors. You see the high school students saying, you know, oh, I was mentoring one of the middle schoolers. I'm like, strong work, good job. Everyone knows the path to success is filled with failure and perseverance. A lot of the challenges within some low-wealth communities is this idea of talent. You only make it if you're talented. And if you fail, it's because you weren't talented enough. One of the things that we reinforce with our engagement is that failure is actually a very important part of succeeding. Growth mindset. And we do this, the culture we create, and we're gonna run through one of the early meeting intros so you can see how we establish that. Understanding no one succeeds alone, helping others is a very important, critical part of success. Are you noticing that a lot of these things are stuff that might actually apply in your actually everyday life? Yeah. Further outcomes? Yeah, we have people who are like, I wanna come work for you because you do things like this. We have med students who are like, I got accepted to 3 different places, but I'm coming to the University of Minnesota because I want to be a part of the ladder. One of the parts of the equation, if we should put this in, was how much all the physicians that go here every month are saving on therapy. And although we haven't done a full evaluation of it, none of our kids that have been participating for the last 5 years have been suspended in middle school, which is one of the highest suspended times in our neighborhood that we live in. And as a lot of you know, it's one of the gateways to the prison to school pipeline, or backwards. So, long-term investment, building a community of purpose. My ears aren't big enough for these here. So, this was one of our favorite outcomes. For the cost of imprisoning one youth, for 1 year, we can run a single chapter of the ladder for 33 years. Which do you think is a better investment? So, content of the ladder, introduction, value and appreciation, the meal, rotation stations, wrap up, and the pledge. Every single thing has a purpose. Every single thing actually has multiple purposes. One of the biggest things is building culture. We share food and we share stories. That's how we build culture. The intro. I'm going to do a quick one with it. Yeah. So, okay, everybody. It's now the second Saturday of the month. You guys are all coming at 12:30 at UROC. Hey, good. Oh, good. You brought the food. Excellent. Good. Let's get going. So, brief intro. The ladder. What's a ladder? Ladder's you. Ladder's we together. Ladder's a society of medical scholars, age 9 and up. And I usually have my badge on. I said, outside in the real world, I'm the esteemed Dr. Critchlow. And then everyone laughs. And then I say, and here, I'm medical scholar Renee. And it's, what's a scholar? A scholar reads, a scholar listens, a scholar teaches, and a scholar learns. These are the commitments we make to each other. And this is what we'll be doing today. Our core values are about respect for ourselves and respect for other people. One of our biggest core values is building our minds. Who here has been doing their 30 minutes of reading every day? Yeah, everyone raises their hands. And yes, comic book counts. That's how Dr. Critchlow gets it. Graphic novels, if you must. We support each other. That's what we're about. We're about support and respect and helping each other learn. Structure of the ladder, service learning, leadership development, cascading mentorship, and fun. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. And what's mentorship? And we explain it every time. Mentorship is support plus challenge. If I just support you and I don't challenge you, I'm a cheerleader. And if I just challenge you and don't support you, I'm an asshole. So, what's today's learning? Today's learning is going to be, boom, sports medicine. There we go. In fact, one of our faculty that always runs our sports medicine, Dave Olson, here with some sort of sports ball player. And we always run through who are some of the helpers in this various fields. So, yeah, so people know that they don't have to just be a doctor. There's lots of different ways to be a success. We always hit on the nurses. That didn't come out right. We always influence them to understand nursing as a real pillar. And we have an interdisciplinary team that comes. We have nurses, we have pharmacists, we have behavioralists. We are very fortunate. And then we spin to our value and appreciation. Value and appreciation is what we're going to be talking about when we're at our eating groups after we line up and divide up into groups. So today's value and appreciation, one of the quotes is going to be, failure doesn't mean the game is over. It means starting again with trying again with experience. The other quote would be, growth is painful, change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck in somewhere you don't belong. And what I'll do is I'll say, okay, for those of you who haven't been here before, I'll model what's going to happen. I would say at the eating group, I'd say, I'm Dr. Critchlow. I'd say, I'm medical scholar Renee. I work at the medical school and at the residency. I'm going to choose the quote, failure doesn't mean the game is over. It means try again with experience. And I'll admit to them, say, listen, I, medical scholar Renee, had to go to 3 different undergrad colleges before I graduated. 3 different. I didn't get into medical school until I was 27. And now I teach at one of the best medical schools in the entire world. But I had to go through 3 times of failure. And I had to learn a different thing each time. One of the biggest things I had to learn is how to turn in financial aid. That is a thing. But I graduated, and I went on to medical school. So that's what I would do as my introduction. And then everyone at the table would choose one of theirs. And we'd speak from an I perspective. And the thing is, you see these kids who see, oh my gosh, these people are super successful. And every one of them has had to overcome some kind of challenge. So, ladder, lift as you climb, build as you grow. We go off into the, we line everyone up, usually by height, except some of these kids are getting really tall. And then we count off in groups of 3, and we break into our eating groups, we do our value and appreciation, and then we have fun. We do our rotation hands-on stations. And then we do our pledge. And one of the reasons we do the pledge, and you guys heard the pledge, one of the reasons we do it is we're making a commitment to ourselves and to each other about the things that we value. And it's online, so you don't have to, like, take a picture of it, unless you want to. That's good. So, the ladder. The rotation stations we do are really about getting people hands-on. They're about giving them the ability to say, oh, wait, I can be that doctor person doing that really cool thing. It was really fun. One time we had a radiology week that was just before our sports medicine month, and the sports medicine fellows that were there that came, they were like, they had a great x-ray, and they pointed out, so does anyone see something that's unusual in this x-ray? And one of the 6th graders got up and said, there's a shoulder separation. And he was right. It was awesome. Our residents come as many times as they can. Our students and undergrads come. Everyone is building their own CVs just by participating and actually having a really good time. This was at our integrative medicine day. They're doing yoga. This is my wife helping them do acupuncture. And no, we don't let the little ones do the needles. They get to watch. But they get to do the yoga. And they did mindfulness. It was really great. Half of them fell asleep, but they needed to rest. It was okay. Yeah, that's you, Carrie. You saw yourself. Okay. So we have all of our residents participate. Our backbone is really our amazing staff. These are some cool people. But it's really the medical students that really are our foundation. And one of the things that I really want to point out is they helped build this. They helped build this from nothing. When we had our first meeting, we had 30 adults and one kid. That kid was awesome. And he still comes. He only missed one meeting, and that was when he had strep throat. And he called me, and he was crying. I can't make it. Dr. Kraft was like, take your medicine and relax. So, graduation. These are some amazing folks that help us actually start the first ladder. One of the things I'd point out, one of our biggest outcomes, is in a school that has at least 19% graduates going into family medicine, 44% of participants in the ladder go into family medicine. And they're awesome. This is Dr. Sarah Indianajanwoha. She's one of our local docs, because we have community docs come out. And she will actually knife me in my throat if I ever try to stop the ladder. This is so important for her. She's not a violent person, so it's okay. But this is the thing. This means something to people, and they keep coming back. It's nourishing. This is Christopher. He was that kid I was talking about. It was the first kid to ever show up. This is him when he was 10. This is him when he was 11. And this is him now. He's a little taller than me. He's 16. And this is Jaden, who's the same age that Christopher was when he first started. And this is Mac Baird receiving the Community Engagement Award from Christopher at our fifth anniversary, which was a couple months ago. So, we started with one kid. And this was our fifth anniversary picture. This is Christopher 3 years ago, looking in Anthony's ear. And this is Anthony, Ellen, and Nirmal, who just got into medical school at the University of Minnesota. So here's the thing. We learned a lot from the ladder. And one of the biggest things that we learned was leaders build leaders. That was the biggest take-home lesson. One of our favorite sayings at the ladder is the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, because if someone would have done this 20 years ago, maybe we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. But the second best time is now. So that's what I'm going to ask you about STFM. I said, we know that this is true as teachers. So I'm going to ask you, let's plant something today. Let's plant something profound, a seed of change. Today. And let's see how that seed impacts the next 50 years. To reiterate, leadership, family medicine. This is a leader's path. Put to you to this day that the seed we must plant in ourselves and in our learners is a personal journey of leadership with growth and vision. There are those who will say, we don't have time. We're in the exam room. It's too burdensome. Yeah, there's a heavy burden because someone who was not a family physician was involved in making those burdensome rules and policies that get between us and our patients. It's time that we learn to use and teach the skills and lessons of advocacy and leadership to address real-world challenges in our patients, our learners, our communities, our country, and our world. We need to stand and advocate for our patients and our learners. We need to stand and advocate for our communities and our world. These are not idle times that we live in now. These are interesting times. We need to be spreading our patients and our learner stories and teaching the skills of how to shape the narratives that impact policy. The number one thing we learned from the ladder was leaders build leaders. And if healthcare outcomes depend more on the social determinants of health than what we're doing in the exam room, then family doctors, we must go there. As teachers of family medicine, we must teach our learners how to humbly engage with communities, how to courageously advocate for more sane policies, and how to compassionately lead. Think about it. We are living in the most interesting of times. One of our residents came to me after the November elections. She was distraught. Honestly, she was afraid. I said, listen, we are the right people right now. Anyone here ever deliver a baby? Any medical school, anything? So for those of you who have not delivered a baby, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. I always joke about it, that delivering babies are either boring or terrifying, but it's always miraculous. And they don't need us when it's easy. They need us when it's hard. They need us when it's challenging. That's why family medicine must be there. Family medicine physicians help shepherd change. Right now, think about the discomfort you see in your learner's eyes. Think about the discomfort you see in your patient's eyes, in your staff's eyes, in your own mirror. We need to reframe this anxiety that is existing. We need to reframe that anxiety as energy. We need to take that energy and make it an energy of purpose. We must learn the skills of advocacy and leadership and guide change and shape vision. We must teach these skills. We must act. Whenever local, state, or federal policies are being discussed, family medicine must be there. Whenever medical school admissions are being discussed, family medicine must be there. Whether it's the state house or a local hearing, we need to be there. Education, housing, food justice, structural racism, these are all killing our patients. We must be there. Because we know that the lives of our patients and the communities we serve depend on sound decision-making and real equity. Now, these are the most interesting of times, yes, but we are made for this. Today, we must plant that seed. Family medicine must stand. Family medicine must advocate, and family medicine must lead. We come from a deeply respected legacy of 50 years of strong work. Today, SDFM, we must make the choice that will shape our destiny. Let us embrace these challenges together. Let us embrace leadership, and let's see what the next 50 years will bring. Thank you. Thank you.